Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Hello, listeners. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are so excited to be with you this evening on the Living by Design show. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, as you know, we are still in our Get Motivated theme month. We had Get Motivated theme for the month of April, and we're also featuring that for the month of May. And I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving it, loving it, loving it. We have a magnificent guest that's going to be joining us this evening, Deb Scott. And, Tony, you know me and my books, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know me and my Turn Down the Pages books. I'm going to tell you something. I've read a lot of books. I've read a lot of books, Tony. Tons. I can't even, I don't even know how many thousands, maybe tens of thousands. Deb's book is entitled The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue. Turning your upside-down world right side up. Oh, my God. This book is, well, I'll just put it this way, Tony. I'm reading for the second time. I'm on my second reading.
Well, that for you is a real big deal.
Oh, it's a major deal. This book is magnificent, absolutely magnificent. But I'm going to tell you, I need to calm down right now. But I want, before I bring her on the line, I want to tell the listeners that I think I mentioned last week I was participating in a retreat this past weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I just wanted to let the listeners know, I hope you were able to join us. If you weren't able to join us, it was out of sight. It was out of sight. We had so many lives that were transformed, and I am so grateful for that. I feel blessed to have been part of that event. So I want to thank everyone who may be listening to me, the Harvest Girls International, who are the sponsors, and also Light of the World Christian Church, which is where we had the event. So it was fantastic, fantastic. So I just wanted to get that out there. And I also want to say hello to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. I know I sound like I'm speeding when I'm talking for whatever reason, but I'm telling you, this book, I got to bring Deb on the line because I've got to tell her about this book. She has me feeling like I'm on speed. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on the line, Tony, so I don't have any other announcements other than our theme continues for the month of May. Get motivated. Ooh, am I motivated right now? I am going to bring Deb Scott on the line. And, Deb, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kathy. It's really great to be on your show. I've been waiting a long time to get with you. I just love what you're all about and what you're doing. Talk about getting motivated.
Woo. You know, you contacted me about wanting to be on my show, and when I received your book, Deb, I absolutely didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if it was going to be good or okay or pretty decent. Honey, I mean, you absolutely blew the roof off.
Well, I'm very humbled that you find it so refreshing, and hopefully it's going to have that effect on a lot of people so that they can be motivated to not give up 5 minutes before the miracle and know that, you know, with the right tools, we can build anything together. And that's what I hope this book will do for those that are reading it, is knowing that the best is yet to come, and none of us are finished yet, Kathy. And being a lifestyle coach you know, with all the work that you do, you certainly can testify to that with the clients that you work with. And that's what it's all about, helping each other to be the best that we can be and staying motivated to get there.
That's right. That's so true. And I know you, I don't even know where to start. There are so many passages and pieces and words and comments and writings and everything in this book that I want to talk about. But the first thing that I want to kind of jump to, Deb, is your story.
And my story. My story will make everybody feel good about their story.
Well, I'm going to tell you, great stories, and that's why your book is so good. Great stories come from great pain.
Yes, well, I know about pain, and probably a lot of your listeners do. And the good news is that the pain can crystallize a better life, and we are not finished. And I say it again because we really don't know what we don't know. But I had some, you know, I had some awful things in my life that you read about, whether it be sexual abuse, whether it be financial savings, and of course today a lot of people can relate to that, whether it be, you know, sole caregiver for two parents that died one after the other, or whether it be dealing with a verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, alcoholic fiancé, which, you know, I didn't end up marrying. But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen. You know, bad things do happen to good people, but there can be good things out of the bad. And that's what I hope these pages will motivate people, is to believe that the best is yet to come, and that we can be grateful for those things that we hate the most if we're given the right tools to transform them.
Now, Deb, please confirm everything that you just said, whether you're dealing with this or that or this, everything that you just named, could you please make sure that our listeners understand you experienced all that?
Oh, I definitely experienced all that.
Well,
and the other thing,
they knew you weren't just listing things. All of that stuff you actually experienced.
Oh, I absolutely. And, you know, I experience a lot of pain and suffering today. And, you know, obviously I eat my own words. I eat my own words. There's no, Kathy, as you know, as a coach, as a life coach, there's no graduation from the business of living. Let's be real. And, you know, we can't all just sit in a corner and think if we sing the right song and hold hands and sing Kumbaya, that if we think that we're going to turn into, you know, a cow, that all of a sudden we're going to look like one in about 20 minutes. No, there are horrible, tragic things that happen to people. And we can't, you know, hope today for a better past yesterday. No, we can't unscramble the scrambled eggs, but we can create new recipes for omelets. We can transform those bad things. And absolutely everything that you just, you know, mentioned about reading, that has been my personal life experience, and that's been a quest and a purpose and a passion towards writing this book and to tell people that there's great tools out there, a lot of things that don't cost any money or little money, and there are things that can transform those bad things into something that you will be grateful for. I know I do, but I have to live it every day. I eat my words, and if it wasn't for the message that I wrote in this book, I would probably be in a mental asylum or having a breakdown or, you know, God knows where I would be. So this has saved me, and I know it can save and help other people too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I tell you, I mean, just one of the things that you experienced, just one is enough to send someone to the insane asylum. I mean,
thank you, Kathy. Thank you. I'm so glad we're having this time together.
Hey, I tell you, I am just keeping it real. I mean, it's true, Deb. I mean, all the things you named, sexual abuse and caregivers, and I mean, a lot of people don't really talk a lot about caregiving and know the stresses that go along with that. So, I mean, for you to, you know, put that in there is huge. It's major because, you know, everybody needs to understand that that is a big emotional trauma for a lot of people.
It is. And, you know, the one thing, and you probably feel the same way because of your business and your profession and what you're passionate about doing to help people. But I've always been one to read something or to listen to someone with a little bit of skepticism. And usually my question is this: why should I listen to you, and what are you saying that has any credibility for me? Do I know that you can understand my pain? Do you relate to me? Do I relate to you? Can I trust you? Do you really care about me? I'm very skeptical when I read books and listen to people, so that's why I want to know if somebody's going to teach me something, they have to darn well prove that they have learned it themselves first, because, you know, teacher of others, have you failed to teach yourself? I mean, there's no credibility in just a lot of talk without walking it. And, you know, so it is hard in a way to put your heart on your sleeve and be vulnerable to whatever. But on the other hand, you know, one person, if we can make a difference for one life, then that makes everything worthwhile. So it would be selfish to share what we've learned to help somebody else avoid a train wreck or taking the time to reinvent a wheel that they don't need to. And yeah, I think that, you know, sexual abuse is not something I'm going to say to someone, hey, that's a really great thing. Isn't that wonderful? Hope that happens to you so you can get your diamond out of that pressure. But I will say, you know, that sexual abuse and going through some of these things that I talked about has been a springboard for me to working with young adults and transforming many lives for over a decade in my parish community and with youth from many ages. And, you know, that's a good thing that came out of the bad thing. And, you know, even the alcoholic in my life got me into Al-Anon, which was a keep the focus on yourself. One finger pointed at you means three fingers are pointing back at me. And, you know, that made me grateful for the alcoholic in my life, because those 12 steps of trusting a higher power, God, our universe, more than our problems, and the steps that you implement on a daily basis are regular mind vitamins that really gave me, anyway, the antibiotic to say, hey, I'm grateful, actually, for that alcoholic, because if it wasn't for that experience, that bad experience, I wouldn't have the greater good of these life lessons and way to live. So it's that kind of stuff, Kathy, that I think is what we're looking at in practical ways of those examples that, you know, nobody wants to have in their life, right? I mean, who wants to suffer? Nobody.
Exactly.
But we all want to get good out of the suffering, right?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's great to be transparent, Deb, because I do myself. I mean, I when I teach my seminars and workshops, I absolutely tell my stories, because I've got lots of trauma and drama and junk in my past, too. We all do. There's no way we can possibly be successful speaking and writing unless we have experienced our own trauma. Well, I mean, how can you go through life without experiencing any trauma? Come on now.
Right. And that, I think, sometimes is where people want to put on the facade that, oh, you know, that's not happening to me and I'm beyond that, or some sort of a denial that we think keeps us safe. But we really have to lean into the feelings, and it's so great. And this is why shows like yours are really right out of the book. It's a seminar or a retreat. It's an immerse yourself in media tools, replay this blog talk radio show, download it, throw it in your car when you're going to the grocery store to work, or, you know, walking, put it in, you know, your headset, whatever, and recycle these mind vitamins, this happiness, this positive transformation tool that you're bringing to all the people everywhere, and allow that to transform you, because the longer you're around it, the more it will really resonate through the core and fabric of who you are. And you know, that's what we all want, is to have this natural language of happiness and transformation, I think.
That's right. Now, Deb, I'm just going to ask you about a section in your book. I have your book right here in front of me, on page 26. Now, I mean, I don't mean for you to go and look on page 26, because I'm going to tell you what it says. And this is something that everyone, even myself, struggles with. Now, some struggle more than others, but this is something that is a universal problem, and I want to talk about this a little bit. You do say that one of the most important tools we'll use to build your life of happiness is the acceptance that you cannot change other people. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute because we know there are so many circumstances where individuals are waiting for someone to change, waiting for someone to improve their life, waiting for someone to feel better, waiting for someone to come out of whatever cloud they're in and get their life together, and then they'll feel better. So talk to the listeners about that mindset, that concept. We can't live all. If your brother or your sister or your daughter or your son or your mother or your father is in a bad emotional spot, then that pulls you into a bad emotional spot. So talk to our listeners about that concept.
Yeah, this is huge, and this was really huge for me, and I found a lot of help in Al-Anon. The idea that we're not going to be happy until this person, place, or thing changes really takes all of our power away from us. What it's saying is we're in victim mentality and that our happiness cannot exist unless it hinges on the success of other people, places, and things doing what we want them to do. So I think that what we have to first accept is that, yes, we are waiting for somebody else or something else to change before we can be happy. And once we accept that we are doing that, we have to also accept that somebody else has that situation the way we want it and ask, it begs the question, is that person 100% happy? We can pick up a tabloid, Kathy, in the grocery store and see that that's not true. Somebody that's beautiful, perfect, rich, famous, their life and their action and reaction to it is no better than our best hope or dream. So that's really a false, it's not true. We think it's true, but our feelings aren't facts. So we then can say, okay, if this thing that we want doesn't make somebody else totally happy, then our happiness doesn't stem from whether we have it or don't have it. Because if it was a fact that if you have this thing, whatever that thing is, quote unquote, it would make you automatically happy, then people that have that thing would automatically be happy, and that's not true. So then it opens up our mind like a parachute, which only works when it's open, to realize that we don't know what we don't know. And just because we think something is true doesn't necessarily make it true. And if we can be wrong about one thing, we might be wrong about something else, which opens up an entire landscape of new possibilities. So let's say that this is a warning signal. Let's consider that. It's a warning signal when we get upset about somebody else's action or behavior to think that, okay, maybe there's something wrong inside of me. Maybe there's something wrong inside of me right now that I need to fix. And if that's true, then what's on the outside that's hurting us and upsetting us and aggravating us is telling us that something on the inside, exactly the same thing, the mirror image, needs to be healed because the salt only hurts on an open wound. Then I have power because now I can be part of my solution. And when I know that I can be part of my solution, then I can say, hey, maybe this person that's talking to me in a really bad way is not necessarily that thing that's upsetting me, but something else that's an anniversary date. I think I gave an example in the book of maybe somebody in that particular instance died this time last year, or maybe it's an unresolved issue of something else that's bothering me. Because when you have trauma and issues that compound, it brings us into a place of exponential pain, and that may not be real as well. And I apologize, I have a cheerleading team here in the background that was supposed to be quiet, but they're saying, hey everybody, how's it going? And so, you know, when we realize that we can change how we feel and what we're thinking of, then we have that ability, with the three fingers pointed back at us, to really change what we're doing. Maybe we need to get around different people. Maybe we need to heal something that we didn't accept. Maybe we're in denial about what we really want. Maybe we've got a victim mentality that we need to outgrow. Maybe we need to get to a seminar or a retreat. Maybe we need to research a new site that has a new idea. But the thing is that we're going to have a trigger to know that we have to change us, not the other person changing. Then we can ask ourselves, the real question is, why are we around somebody that's aggravating the heck out of us so much anyway? Why are we so into the drama king or queen scenario of somebody else changing so that we don't have to focus on what needs to change in us? If we can't get along with us, ourselves in our own skin suit, how do we expect somebody else to get along with us? I mean, it's really a much more empowering way to live when we know that somebody else has their life, their choices. It really becomes almost an arrogance that we think we should control somebody else when we don't want to be controlled ourselves. And if we think that we're right and the other person is wrong and we know better for the other person how they should live, then we're really showing our own real pride and arrogance. And that's, you know, unless you're in a place of humility, you can never be open to learn from somebody else. So this is where we have to look at what upsets us as a trigger to heal something inside of us that's not right. And these 12-step programs I'm a big advocate on because they're free, and they're for anything under the sun, Depression Anonymous, you know, you name it, emotions, codependence, it could be drugs, it could be eating, it could be how much money you spend, it could be, you know, how you feel, it could be anything. But all the principles work the same way. You focus on something greater than you that loves you unconditionally, and then you begin to accept yourself, love yourself, go on the discovery channel of self, and you're much less interested in somebody else's life and what they're doing, because, you know, discovering ourselves is really a much more enjoyable journey than getting wrapped up in somebody else's drama.
Right, and I'm going to come back to that, the 12-step programs, because I want to talk a little bit about that too. But before we move off this topic about, you know, getting caught up in feeling better when someone else feels better, that's to me, that situation, what, you know, I want the listeners to also understand is that you can't change another person. And if you could just focus on what you do have control yourself, you never know. You may be a positive influence on that individual. And I have a real testimony about that, because I have a family member. And, you know, family members, you can't divorce family members because they're yours, whether they're dysfunctional or not. And I don't know if this family member is listening. They know who I'm talking about. But I had a family member who was extremely toxic. And because I had already been through the things I had been through, and I was able to turn some things around. Now, we're all a work in progress. I mean, none of us are perfect. So
absolutely.
But I was able to turn some things around and have a better outlook and a better perspective. And it was my choice. I was making choices on what I wanted to be, feel, do, and have. So this family member was really a stressful individual, and I could have allowed it to stress me. I could have allowed that energy to, you know, be attracted to me, or my positive energy could have been attracted to that person, which is exactly what happened. The strongest energy won out, and my positive energy was attracted to that person, and that person has changed quite a bit. Now, they're not where they want to be, but they're certainly not where they used to be.
I love that. I love that statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
And that's what I'm saying. If you focus on yourself, Focus on your healing. Focus on your power. Focus on your emotions. Get them strengthened. Get yourself to a place where you're healthy, and it might encourage that person that you're hoping will change. Instead of you being down in the dumps all the time, and then you go around that individual, they're down in the dumps all the time, and it's just a bunch of negative energy swirling around in this big vortex, how are you going to possibly help someone else if you can't be the best that you can be?
You just said it all, and it's hard in the beginning to do that. I'm sure it was difficult for you to do that I think sometimes we feel that we're doing somebody a service by helping them change, and it's hard to say, no, I've just got to focus on me and let them take care of them, and then look at the great result that you had. They ended up changing anyway, but, you know, sometimes the other person is afraid, because if you're changing, then that really puts the other person in a situation that says, geez, I might have to change too. Wow, I'm afraid, I'm not ready. So it's easier for them to try to keep you stuck. And I think people often forget that part of it, don't you, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Deb, I want to ask this question. I've been kind of listening the entire time, but I wanted to ask this. There are some folks that I've run into, and Kathy and I have had this discussion. There are individuals that you run into sometimes who you know. You absolutely know they just need to start believing in themselves. They need to start believing that they have that possibility. They have the ability. But they have been, pretty much their entire lives, have been a naysayer, a downtrodden thinker, and they don't know where to pull it from. What do you do, or what do you say to those individuals who, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could, as Kathy said, you could be the example to them. You could give them positive energy. There are individuals like that. I never want to think that a person is a lost cause. But in this particular case, I've run into a few individuals who I've tried to speak very positive to them, and they don't seem to be able to pull from themselves to come up with something and even use you as a positive example. What do you do and say to those individuals?
Yeah, well, here's a good catch story. You can throw perfume or you can throw manure, but whatever you throw is going to stick to you. And whatever you're around, if you stand next to, you know, that pile of manure, you're going to end up smelling like it whether you touch it or not. And the same
right.
is true for the good, you know. So if you're around positive people that have transformed the bad into the good, whatever it is that this person is complaining about, and we all have something, right? If we get around people that have already, or at least working to get to a better place, then that sort of rubs off too. And that's where, again, I'm a big advocate of seminars, retreats. You can't get healthy in isolation, the 12-step programs, and getting those mind vitamins. But like anything else, if somebody doesn't realize it's a problem for them, you can't change them. You can't do anything except tell them that, you know, I understand you're in pain, and I understand you're unhappy, and these are some of the things that have worked. You know, maybe try this program, maybe go here. I've Googled this, and there's a meeting down the street this Tuesday night, and you might want to go. Do you want me to go with you? You know, you can bring somebody the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. And, you know, these cliches last years because there's truth in them. So nobody's going to get healthy. I know for me, you know, the closest people that loved me the most were telling me, you know, don't do this, don't go out with him, don't do this, you know, whatever it is. But I tell you, I had to hit rock bottom myself before it became real for me. But then the words and all the people, what they said, just like you're saying, they came back, and then I realized, wow, they were right, and they said that because they cared about me. And that's when, you know, the aha moment hit, and that's when I started to really get my roots in deep with these programs, and I saw what they did. But there's nothing you can do to change anybody else, and it is heartbreaking for people that don't want somebody else to go through that pain. But sometimes the pain is what we need. Sometimes we need to be in pain. You know, pruning really hurts, pruning hurts. I don't even like going out and pruning my rose bushes. I feel guilty cutting the branches back in the spring or in the fall, but I know that the next season it's the only way that they're going to grow and not be deformed and be beautiful. And we have to prune ourselves. We have to allow others to go through the pruning process. It's the only way for them to get what they want.
And Tony,
right.
Let me ask you a question about your question. Are you referring to, you said you run into people, are you referring to people who want to change, who have commented that they want to change and don't know how, or are you referring to people who just complain and they're not really asking for answers to change?
Well, I'm talking about folks who say they want to change, who it seems like a desire for them to change, and they say they see your happiness, they see your growth, they see where you are, but you give them the advice, and I know you can't make anyone change, and they have to want it bad enough. But it's as though, you know, they, like Deb said, they're saying they are just thirsty as all get out. But as soon as they get to the well, they refuse to drink.
Oh, well, they're not thirsty then.
Yeah,
right.
But they might be. They might be. And here's the other thing. If we're all looking at these events as seeds that are being planted in the garden of our life, we don't know what we're putting in the soil. We don't know by listening or making a suggestion to this person when they will be ready, okay? And whenever, if that's a perennial, maybe it'll come up in March, maybe it'll come up in April. We don't know when it's going to come up. But if you don't give them the thoughts and the ideas, whether they want to change or don't want to change, we might never know what those moments where you listened, cared, and gave them some ideas, what it will do for them when they are ready. Because when we hit rock bottom, we're ready.
And
gotcha.
I think that's the key to what Tony just said. That's why I think they haven't. Your greatest triumphs come from your greatest pain, and maybe they haven't been low enough, or maybe they haven't been in a painful enough spot. I don't know, but if you're saying they do want to change, and they do get it, they do understand, but you take them to the well and they still don't drink, then there's something else going on there. Either they're lying to themselves, because that reminds me of a seminar I attended. It wasn't recently, it's been a while ago, and the facilitator asked the question in the room. He said, I want everyone here who's a liar to raise their hand. And it kind of struck me as a strange request. I'm like, that's weird. And I said, what do you mean a liar? So, and then he explained, no, of course nobody raised their hand. And then he said, okay, well, let me ask it a different way. If you've ever made an excuse for something that you wanted to do but didn't do it, you made an excuse, raise your hand. And, of course, everybody raised their hand because we've all done that. And he said, well, what's the difference in that and being a liar?
Yeah.
So if they're saying they want to do it and they have the tools and they're not doing it, something ain't jiving there.
Yeah, and, you know, you can always have the attitude, take what you like and leave the rest. Just because you try 9 or 10 things, maybe the 11th will work, you know, that's worth it. That's a process, and you can't get to Boston, from Boston to California, without those headlights working a little bit along the way.
Oh,
and
I
you
love
can't
that in your book.
But you can't see the whole road, but you don't give up the journey because you can't see the whole thing.
And let me just, if you don't mind me sharing, just a little snippet of your book to the listeners, because you people need it. Where can you get this book, Deb? Amazon?
You can get it on Amazon. I just got it on Kindle, so I'm really excited about that. A lot of people requested it, so it's finally on Kindle, but it is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and, you know, those are the two big ones, I guess. Bookstores,
okay.
Bookstores can get it through Ingram, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this little snippet, the way Deb told it in her book, and if I tell it wrong, you can retell it. But she used a scenario that when we're driving in the car at night, you can, and you have your headlights on, you can only see a few feet in front of you. Your headlights don't shine, you know, 12, 15, 20 miles down the road. Your headlights only allow you to see a few miles in front of you. But you don't worry about it. Because you know the direction you're going, and you know the headlights are giving you the light enough to, you know, so that you can get there inch by inch by inch. And you don't worry about the rest of the road ahead that's dark that you can't see. I loved that analogy because that's what we do in life. We worry and stress about what's going to happen next week and next month and next year. Instead of just trusting God and trusting our higher power that we can see the next day, or that we can see just that small little chunk of road that our headlights are lighting up for us, and just go with that.
Yes, and isn't that a tragedy that we live so much in the tomorrow or the past instead of just saying, okay,
yeah,
this is what's been given.
Past. Yeah,
well, no, but, you know, given this is what we can see for today, so this is all what we're, you know, this is what we're ready for, and just being grateful that we can see what we can see, and it's not totally dark, and we do have some light, and I constantly think about that analogy myself, because we all are day by day living our life as best we can with the knowledge that we have, or at least we should be trying to do that. And simple things in our life that we take for granted, the, you know, nature, leaves unfolding, the seasons changing, headlights in our car when we're driving, all these simple things. You know, we get up in the morning, we don't complain about brushing our teeth, but we do it every day, yet why don't we get up and spend time in the classroom of silence in our prayer and doing these things we know we need to do as well. And when we look at how simple everything in life functions, we tend to think that we're different. And I think that's the big mistake, that we want to make this more complex than it has to be. And instead of really embracing that we're all on a journey, everybody has good and bad in their life, everybody has struggles, everybody has suffering. Okay, so now that we've accepted that, how do we want to live? How do we want to feel? What do we want to contribute here? And what is our purpose, you know, before we go? Because none of us is staying. You know, sometimes death is a great way to live, because if we reflect on the fact that we're not going to be here, I know when my mother was throwing up over the toilet and I was holding her during her cancer treatments, my father was, you know, dying of his cancer and congestive heart failure, you realize that death is a reality, and we have to really choose what we want our life to be. We have to think about what we're thinking about if we want that magnificent life that I think, Kathy, we all have a yearning to live.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. We do. I believe we do. Regardless of the pain that we're enduring, regardless of where we have been, even though some of us get stuck in that previous life and we get stuck in those spots that were miserable for us and we just can't get past it and we keep reliving our past over and over and over and over and we get kind of stuck on the road. And even though that happens, we are still getting strength from that, even though we may not know it. But we are still getting strength from that, and eventually, especially for the people who do get it, eventually you're going to come out of that. You know, and like I said earlier, you know, our greatest triumphs come from some of our greatest pain. You told that one story, and I've actually heard it before, but I actually love the story about the donkey in the well.
Oh, I know when I first heard that donkey story, Kathy, I was dumbfounded.
Tony,
I thought it was brilliant.
Have you heard that story, Tony? Are you still with us, Tony?
Yes, I am. My phone tried to cut off.
Okay.
I'm here.
Have you heard the donkey story?
No, I have not.
Oh, let me tell this story. It's about the donkey. It's kind of a life analogy story. There was a farmer who had a donkey tied up. He was always tied up, and somehow he got loose and fell down into this really deep, dark well. And the farmer was trying to fit, and the donkey just cried and cried and screamed and cried and hollered and screamed because he wanted the farmer to rescue him and pull him out of that well. And the farmer was thinking to himself, oh, you know what, the donkey's old. He really doesn't really serve me any value anymore, so I'm just going to go ahead and bury him. And so the farmer started shoveling dirt into the well to just, you know, bury him and cover it up. And when the donkey, he called neighbors over to help him shovel so he could hurry up and get it done fast. And have you heard the story now, Tony? Sound familiar?
He's thinking.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. As they kept shoveling dirt, the donkey quickly realized what was happening, that they were shoveling dirt to try to cover him up and bury him, and he starts screaming just to the top of his lungs, and then all of a sudden, it got quiet, and he stopped screaming. And what had happened is the donkey realized that they were every time they would shovel dirt and the dirt would hit the donkey on the back, he would shake it off and step up. And then he would shake it off and step up with every shovel of dirt. Because, you know, every time you shovel dirt, the well is, you know, it's filling up with dirt. So he would shake it off and use it to step up on it as a stepping stone.
Right.
And then eventually they had shoveled enough dirt where the donkey just got to the top of the well and just trotted away and ran off, and then he was free.
I love that story.
I love that story. I love that story because that's what we need to do in life. Whenever something hits us really bad, if we shake it off and allow it to be a stepping stone for us to grow and move up, we could be so much freer and have such better lives.
Yeah, and you know, that's very true, because the one thing that you try to get people to understand more than anything else is, and Kathy, you've said this, and I've said this on the show before too, but you have to have a test to have a testimony. You have to go through something, and what you go through doesn't necessarily and isn't necessarily going to be something that you will think at that particular time that you're going through it that is going to grow what you need to be and grow who you are. At that time, it may not seem that way, but when you take a look at it, you realize it, and you approach it from a growth standpoint. Because I remember, and I forget the guest that we had on, but he used the word change, and he said we should stop using the word change and just use the word growth, because that's what change is. Whether it's good or bad, change is growth. So if we look at those things that we go through, those things that affect us, as you said, shake it off, step up, and grow from it, it makes you stronger and better in every situation.
And it is. And, you know, the other thing that I love about that story, Kathy, is that if it wasn't for the fact that the donkey fell in the pit, the very tragedy that was a catastrophe, he would have never been free. He would have been, you know, held a slave to that farmer for the rest of his life. So he enjoyed something that, you know, was great. The lesson is you can really have total freedom sometimes from the things that you hate the most. So, you know.
That's right. That the falling into the well situation is actually what gave him the greatest thing that he truly wanted, and that never would have came if he hadn't have been at the lowest point in his life, almost having to face death because they were trying to bury him. So, oh, my God, I love that story. Let's talk, before we run out of time, I knew this interview was going to go quick with you, Deb, but let's talk a little bit about, because you do talk about the 12-step program in your book, and I know you really feel passionate about that, so I want you to have an opportunity to talk about, and there are lots of 12-step programs. It's not just for alcoholics.
If I could tell people one, you know, if people want to know one action step to take that they can do tonight, a place that they can go for free, I would say Google a 12-step program. Just say 12-step and attach in the Google search whatever it is that you want to get rid of, whether it's emotions, eating, you know, maybe it's obsessing, maybe some people are really struggling with, you know, people. I mean, you know, it could be porn, it could be alcohol, it could be money, it could just be anything today. You know, there's so many things that people battle because they're trying to cope, and this is the only way that they can express their pain is through these types of addictions. But 12-step programs are for anybody. They're not any religious sect. I happen to believe, you know, my higher power is God, but everybody has something. And it's just going in and focusing on these steps where God is really, and the higher power is the focus and not the problem, and being around other people that have transformed these things. So realizing that life is unmanageable, realizing that you want a better way, realizing that we don't have the power to control it. We're not big enough to control everything and everyone in the universe. We have to let God be God instead of making another person God in a relationship or making another thing God, whether it be alcohol or the addiction. And once we can do that and keep the focus on ourselves, we become free because we're only as sick as our secrets. And once we bring them out in the open and we realize that other people in this setting that we're in, which is all anonymous, they listen. You talk, you don't interrupt. You're heard. And a lot of us feel, isolated because we don't feel listened to. And in this environment, everybody respects one another without judgment. So we can hear ourselves speaking. And part of the great gift in these programs is the silence to really have to be present with yourself. And this is where the awareness comes in. And I always think of that equation, you've probably heard it, but the awareness plus the acceptance is the only thing that will give you the action that you want. So if you don't have the first two pieces of the equation, you're not going to get the result. And this program is like a multivitamin in megadose, and it is absolutely amazing, the transformations that any 12-step program can bring to anyone. And I am a firm believer that is the best way to live, and they're really for anybody. So, that would be my one big action plan for somebody to get involved in some sort of 12-step program. And if you don't like it, stick with it a couple times and then try another one. And there's so many out there. It's wrong thinking to believe it's only for alcoholism. And
I also want to make sure that our listeners know, Deb, that it's not just for addicts of any sort. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're addicted to a specific thing. All the examples you named, you don't have to be addicted to porn or addicted to whatever. Even if you just have an issue with a specific area in your life, call it whatever you want. I mean, it doesn't have to be an addiction. It's just a problem. This is just a means for you to deal with it, a means for you to get help, a way for you to, like you said, a free way for you to take a step toward having your goal.
Excellent. Excellent point, and thank you for bringing that up, because it's absolutely true. You don't have to be, crawling in to have and be in a real sick place. You just want to change gears. For anybody that wants to change gears, what you just said is really important, and I'm glad that you emphasized that, because It is true. It is so true. And the healing in those groups, for a buck donation, is just overwhelming.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And I love the fact that you brought that up, because that is something that people actually forget about. Because I know I speak to a lot of people who, they feel like they need professional help or they need professional counseling. And, they say they don't have insurance, they can't afford it. But I'm glad you brought that to my attention, because I actually had forgot about that. And that is a great way for people to get the help for free. And they
right.
don't have to be addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or whatever the case may be. They could just be struggling with an area in their life, just a struggle. Call it a struggle if you don't want to call it an addiction. Call it a struggle or a hardship. And you just need help with that hardship. And that could be your means.
Exactly. And you just said it so beautifully, and it's very embracing and non-threatening, and that is the way to think about it. And that's, Kathy, that's one of the things that I hope that, this time together, writing or talking, that is what this is about, is opening people's minds to new ways of thinking, to bring all of us to new ways of being. And I never thought that 12-step programs milligrams were for anything and under the sun. I always thought it was alcohol or some type of serious addiction. And when I got in there, I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. A dollar donation. And I've met some of my best mentors and amazing people that are just doing tremendous things with their life, and it's just phenomenal how inspirational it is to go there. And it's an hour of your life, and it's a dollar donation. Now tell me that isn't a good return on an investment.
Well,
and we're worth the investment.
and I'm going to tell you something else, and you know, I don't mean to insult anyone, so please understand that that's not my purpose for saying this, but a lot of people are in jobs to get paid. And the reason I say that is because I teach at one of the local universities, and one of my students came up to me one day and said, would you be willing to speak to a friend of mine, because she's been seeing a psychologist, and the psychologist told her, I can't do anything for you.
Oh,
yes. And so my heart bled when she told me that. I said, are you kidding me? And a lot of times doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, whatever, they may throw drugs at you or antidepressants, and that's all they want to do. And they don't really care about, they're not passionate about their work. They're just trying to get paid. And this WellStep program is not that type of environment. They are committed. I mean, when you're committed, you do whatever it takes, and they have a strong commitment to helping people, not just getting paid or throwing a drug at you.
Oh, I this is exactly why I love this program. It is absolutely as authentic could ever hope to be, and it works. It absolutely works. And I have, you know, I have nothing against therapists, and you know, since you read the book that
me
I have.
Either.
Yeah, I mean, I have a chapter in there, therapist and coaching and all that. You know, I think it's great. And obviously, you know, you're a great coach, and there are people that are passionate doing it for the right reasons, doing the right thing for the right reasons. But I think it's a tragedy that so many people get interviewed for jobs, and they pay people, or they get paid to do a job, and then when they go in to find a therapist or a coach, you know, they don't do the interview process equally as diligently. And it's a tragedy that we think so little of ourselves that we wouldn't want to really investigate who it is we're giving the sources of our life to with our heart and our emotions. And when somebody can only see an hour of us in an entire week or whatever, we can't expect them to understand everything about us, nor should we give all our power away to do that. So the 12-step programs are just phenomenal, or money. And 12-step programs are hands down a tremendous, tremendous place to do everything that we're talking about right here. And I love what you said. I love what you said about that, with the money and the passion and the sincerity and really caring. And part of the problem that I think I know for me that I had, and maybe some of the listeners, is really getting that intuition and divine discernment working again. Sometimes when we've had these tragedies in our life, you know, I mean, it's some things are textbook that we know, with, you know, sexual abuse and all those other things, and we know that it sort of turns off our intuition, makes us doubt ourselves. That little voice in our head that says, "Oh, you deserve this," or "What's wrong with you?" The negative voice. We have to rewire that intuition and get it working and greased up again, so that we can listen to ourselves and trust. Who should we be with? Who should we listen to? Who deserves? You know, we have to consider the source. And somewhere along the line, if we have been through a lot of tragedies and trauma, we lose that, I think. And a 12-step program helps bring that back on, so that we can say, you know what, this is somebody that I should listen to. You know what, that's somebody that I shouldn't. No, you know what, that's not where God's calling me to work. No, this is where I have the talents, and this is where I need to be working, because that's where my purpose is, and that's where I'm going to be happy. Or, you know what, this is where I am today, and this is what I know today, so I'm going to feel really good about being here, because because I've learned to trust myself, and I've gotten into a better place, being comfortable with who I am, and getting all these things working again. Sometimes, you know, those free environments in a 12-step program are just the lubrication we need to get the things working in us again properly.
Absolutely. And, you know, to the listeners, I also want to tell everyone, you know, we come here every week. Tony and I come here every week, and we try to bring the very best guests that we can for your empowerment, for your purpose, so that you can understand what you need to do to transform your life. And it's going to take persistence. It's going to take patience. It's going to take a lot of action from you. And don't, please don't beat yourself up, because I know a lot of people feel like, oh, if I could just be patient with yourself. Rome wasn't built in a day. If you are 30, 40, 50 years old, it took you quite a while to build up all of that toxic stuff in there, and it's going to take you a while to plow new ground. So just be patient and reward yourself for small things along the way, accomplishments along the way. Just reward yourself and just take it one day at a time.
I love that. And, you know, nobody else has been us, so how can somebody tell us what we're supposed to be like? And we're not finished yet. So,
right.
You know, that is such a healthy way of being and always believing that the best is yet to come. And, you know, take a sticky note and write down, I am created unique. I'm the only one in a million years like me. And, you know, I love me. Stick it on the mirror, because, you know, hey, we don't have anything that comes to us when we're born saying this is what you're supposed to be in the finished product.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're unique.
That's right. And for those people who are out there trying to, you feel bad or you're crying and you want to change someone, a loved one, and you want a loved one to change, just keep saying whatever you can say to that person and try to have balance in your life. If you know that person is not where you want them to be yet, step back, give them space, counsel them if they want it, but also try to surround yourself with healthy-minded people, healthy people who can lift you up. Because if you're always around family members who are pulling you down, you've got to have that balance. You've got to have that good balance with positive people in your life, as well as those other people that you can't let go of because you love them too much and they pull you down. So please take advantage of the positive people and the positive role models and the positive support that you have, because your life needs balance too.
Yeah, and nobody goes and wants to become a winning, you know, winning Wimbledon and playing with a terrible tennis player. They always have to get better by playing with somebody better. And our life is worth the same amount of effort and attention. If we want to be more peaceful and have more purpose, you know, get around people that have already, you know, achieve that level that we feel
is demonstrating it.
Yeah, and demonstrating. Somebody that's really walking the talk. Because it's, you know, I have come to a place where words are meaningless. I only go by actions. So somebody can tell me, you know, whatever they want. It's like, you know, the husband who says, hey, I love you, but then he's beating you up and he's saying, oh, I won't do it again. And then next week I hear those stories. And, you know, we have to go by someone's actions. That's what matters. And words are great, but words really don't matter. What matters is the action. And, you know, I think if we can just tell ourselves as well that if we do the next right thing and worry about the feelings later, if we go to those meetings, those 12-step meetings, or we do that successful sabotage, or we practice that 2-minute volunteering, or we keep that focus on ourselves, if we just do the next right thing and then we see the result, the feelings will follow. And we can't let the feelings give us the sense of who we are, because we may feel something that could be completely, it could be a lie. You know, you can, and let me prove it to you with this quick example. I know we're running out of time here, but if you're walking down the road and you see a pond in the distance and there's a what you think is a cobra in the water, you're automatically afraid. You start sweating. It's like, you know, an immediate response in your system that brings you to a heightened level of alert and you're scared. And then you say, well, I have to go by this road to get to where I'm going. It's that important, you know? And so you keep walking, even though you're afraid that the cobra is going to come get you. You have to walk by it. And as you get closer to what you think is the cobra, you realize it's just a stick in the water. And then you start laughing at yourself saying, my gosh, I was so positive that was a cobra that was going to kill me. And now I realize that it was just a stick. My eyes were not seeing clearly. I wasn't focused. And now that I'm in focus, I can see that it's just a stick. And all of that, trauma that we feel internally automatically evaporates and disappears, and we can keep going on our path towards our destination, which is our goal. And that's sort of the walk in life. Sometimes we think, you know, what is in front of us is a cobra that's going to kill us, but it might not be anything but our own fear and our own inability to see clearly. And the way to get the right glasses on, to get our mind vision corrected, is to do these things that we're talking about, which is all of that, the 12-step programs, the successful sabotage, the two-minute volunteer, the immersing yourself in transformation, listening to great programs like yours, you know, getting around, you know, successfully sabotaging.
And I'm sorry, Deb, we're coming up on our last 30 seconds.
Oh.
You have been a fabulous guest. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. But we are going to sign off for now, and we will be back next week. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Part of this, no problem. Any parts you missed, you can re-listen to the archives. So we're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
I'm Tony Lamont.
And we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Bye.